Well, another victory Monday here at Flowery Branch. We welcome you into the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and, of course, the head coach of the Falcons, Dan Quinn, is with us here in our first couple segments. And Tevin Coleman's going to join us today in our player spotlight as well later in the program. I saw some of the video online last night. You talked to the team after the ball game, a six-point victory over New Orleans to finish 11-5 and clinch the two seed. And I think the quote was somewhere along the line of, this is where the fun starts.
That's right.
Okay, here comes the fun, huh?
Yep.
What, is it brand new? Is it always going to be, this is where the fun starts? Is this what you play 16 games for?
I think the excitement keeps building and the swell keeps building. So when you have the opportunities to play well in your division and then you get a chance to win the division, then some good things happen where you get to play at home in front of your city and your fans and how much fun that can be in the playoff environment. So, this is absolutely, why you compete so hard to give yourself a chance when you get in this tournament to go for it. And it's as fun as it can get.
Yeah, and fans don't get this twisted in my question that I'm going to ask Coach Q here because there's so
this
much
could go
more.
In a lot
there's
of ways.
There's so much more to be done.
Yes.
Okay, and like you said, now the mission begins. This is where you wanted to be. You played yourself this position, and now the mission begins to win a championship. But over the 2 years you've been here, there was a process that you've talked about. There was a mission that you had. There was a message that you wanted to convey to your players that permeated the whole building and that they took and ran with. Are you proud of the way that's worked out?
I am. And you feel this connection that these guys have for one another, how hard they want to play. And I hope the fans in the city feel that too, understanding how hard they want to go and how important it is for them to play well, not for themselves, but something bigger for them than themselves, and that's being part of a team. And when you are a part of a really close group, it's such a rewarding feeling knowing that you're going to do all you can to help the guy right next to you.
Other thing that struck me yesterday, when the final seconds ticked off, it was not in the hands of the judges.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hagler would be proud of us.
I mean, you were determined. I mean,
yes.
This team locked in. You talk about focus and the
– the intent was right.
Yeah. And, I mean, for the last 5 weeks.
And really, that came from each week, not looking too far ahead and what could happen 2 and 3 weeks from now, but the task right at hand and each Wednesday going out to throw a great practice. That part actually has gotten better and better. We won this game during the week, and it was the work that the guys put in. Filling that bucket up of all the information, all the stuff to go into the game. So we're getting even better at that process.
Do right longer.
That's right. It's words to live by.
Absolutely. Want to talk, let's dive into the game a little bit, Dan. You and I had a chance to talk post-game. The quarterback was incredible. Obviously, you don't make the plays if you're Matt Ryan unless guys are blocking and doing their assignments. The great route running, catch the football when it gets there. But you've had a chance to kind of digest the film now. It's that I've seen him play a lot of really good games. It's probably as sharp as I've seen him throw the ball.
It was, and it wasn't just the routes and that. It was the one to Sanu. It was man-to-man coverage, got up, created. Sanu did a good job coming back to go get it. There was another play to Julio on a deep crosser coming inside. He was going to take a hit, but it wasn't open yet. Had to wait for it, and he ripped one, over to Julio inside. And then the receivers, I thought, were really active in this game. There was a check down to Freeman that went for a long play, but it was Hardy that got a block. It was Toilolo that got a block. It was Sanu that got a block after Free had caught the ball. So the players totally recognize and understand they're an extension of one another.
Interesting to watch this game develop in the first half. At one point, I think we charted that you had held New Orleans to somewhere along the lines of 218 total yards. And
with about 6 minutes left to go in the third quarter, they had about 225 yards.
And we could have called it right there. That would have been all right.
But most of those yards, 140 some of those yards, had come in their first two or three possessions of the game. I mean, you basically had locked them down. We saw everything kind of sync up yesterday. And I guess the question or statement is, we've been seeing it sync up now for 3 and 4 weeks. And the more I hear you talk about the preparation and the process, that's where the syncing up is occurring.
It has, and we've gotten better. Our process is getting even stronger. Our commitment to the way we come in and attack each week of getting better, that part is getting stronger. And if we can keep down that course of continual improvement, knowing each week we're going to totally put it all in, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, then the shift becomes where it comes back to you. And we're having a very clear understanding of what that feels like.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Q, when you're in your ever effort to try to get better each and every day, let alone each and every week, as you digested the film, and I guess the thing that people will look at, okay, the thing you need to get better at is trying to finish the game, close the game out the way you want to. We knew number 9 was going to make a run. He's one of the best that's ever played the game. How do you maybe adjust that part of the game to make it a little bit better and more amenable to you?
Well, for sure, defensively, you know, we had 10 missed tackles on the day. Okay. And that part, you know, has got to be better. We thought there were some times we call it the strike zone, you know, from the shoulders down to the knees like in baseball. And there were some times where we went up high, whether it was on a receiver or on a running back, and there were whether yards after contact or missed tackles where we, you know, fell off. So that part, we knew that was going to be a factor coming into the game, so we were disappointed in how we tackled. We weren't disappointed in our effort. We thought the guys battled and strained, but I'm glad there's a lot of things fundamentally that we'll work on this week.
Interesting ball game in terms of its tempo. Can you ever start too fast, Coach?
No, and you can't.
I mean, it was a whirlwind yesterday.
And I thought that was, you know, to set it off yesterday, it was, and we got to give credit to the fans. They were there early.
Oh, yeah.
They brought it, and so we had a good stop defensively. 4 plays later, we scored, and that helped right off the bat. So having them there, you know, I hope they recognize they're an important part of what we do. But past that, no, you can't. If you're on the attack and you're playing aggressive, no, you can't.
Yeah, and I thought that the building was electric yesterday, and I thought that your offense allowed them to be electric. First of all, your defense comes out and get a 3-and-out to start the game, which is exactly what you wanted. And it was contested. Both throws he tried to make were contested, guys right in people's hip pockets, and then your offense comes out and blows doors. So
we didn't think we played well defensively in our first game against them.
Right.
And so then in the first half, we thought we did, you know, a number of things better. But sure enough, towards the end, you know, we made some completions and made some plays, a lot of which we feel are correctable for us. And we've been improving as we're going. So in the second half or maybe the fourth quarter, there was definitely a setback for us. But we've made a lot of gains over the last 4 games.
And I thought there was some moments in the game where you actually dug the hole for them.
Yes.
You put them in the hole. It wasn't that they put themselves in the hole. You dug the hole for them and put them in it. Was your wins in the red zone.
Yep.
You forced them to kick field goals. And then your wins on third down, because this is the number 1 third down conversion team in the league, coming
They've
in almost 50%.
Yeah.
You held them to, what, 43% for the game, but it was even worse than that in the first half.
And there was a number one that we also agree with those, and the finishes, the Collins interception in the red zone in the end zone was a big one. And then as small as it may sound, having 2 stops on the 2-point conversions of just – those are tough plays. You just had a bad one. They just scored, and then you have to kind of regroup, reset, and then go after it again. So to get those 2 stops on 2-point conversions just shows you can finish at any time.
Well, I'm going to back up and add special teams to it, because you had the unbelievable punt and you were offside or formation penalty. Courtney Upshaw made the tackle on the first kick, lined back up again, and by God, he goes back down the field and hammers the guy 1 more time.
It showed a lot of grit and toughness on that one to battle. Anytime you have to go back-to-back on the punts, and you try to say, all right, let's go after it again. And they sure did. And I thought Bosher was a real factor in this game as
Absolutely.
Well. You know, the touchbacks, the punting. They have, you know, Tommy Lee Lewis is a good returner, and we worked hard at our coverage this week.
Well, a couple of numbers just to reflect on for the fan here, 11-5 season. Special teams guys get kind of overlooked. Matt Bryant leads the league in scoring, 158 points on the year. 34 of 37 in field goals. He missed 1 extra point. Bosher averages 46-8, 41-6 on net. Only had 1 touchback. He had 21 down inside the 20-yard line. And, oh, by the way, Eric Weems was 6th in the league in punt returns and 6th in the league in kickoff returns. Pretty good when you start talking about maybe the hidden yardage or the hidden plays.
And one of the things we don't talk about, Weems, not only is he a good returner, he can cover.
Yeah,
and we put him right in the middle of the action on kickoff. He's generally in a 4 or 5 spot, which is right near where the ball is going. And he takes great pride in that. He's our special teams captain, and he's one of the smartest football players we have.
And he's often the guy that the other team is trying to double team. Is that not
no
right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
And he's a factor. Him and Leroy Reynolds, they battle one another, and they want the tackle bad.
Coach Dan Quinn with us, and Tevin Coleman in the player spotlight still to come. And we'll talk about this this welcomed, I'm sure, bye week in terms of getting into the playoffs and things of that nature. You talk about the 10 missed tackles. What else concerns you about that fourth quarter? Did you see something that, okay, we get back to this point, we learn something here, we want to reroute and do something else next time?
Offensively, you know, we thought we missed some conversions that we had some opportunities for. So we had got off to such a terrific start in the first half and then not as, big a second half. So we thought we had some opportunities on third downs that we could have converted that would have extended some drive. So both sides, we thought we could have played better.
How difficult is that, Dan, when you're so hot early in the game and really the first half, you're as hot as you can be. I think you score five times.
That's right. Five possessions, five times. Yep.
And then you come out, you know the team's going to make some adjustments.
No doubt.
You guys have decided that you're going to make a few adjustments as well. But you're going to get their best shot in the second half. How hard is it to stay that hot for 6 minutes? Is it realistic to stay that hot?
It is hard. And we knew, playing a division team, you're going to get their very best shot. And we for sure did. We knew it was going to be a tough game, and it was. Mm-hmm. So we knew there would be different things in the second half, exactly like you said. And I honestly am thrilled that there's plenty of stuff for us to work on this week. And that's the goal. That's what we talked to the team about today, of finding ways to improve. And where are you at with your game? And what are some specific things as a ball player that you want to improve on? And let's go do that this week.
A couple of notes before we get to our next segment. Vic Beasley got another sack yesterday, wins the sack title. You just got to be elated with where he is in his second year, Coach.
Yeah, he's making real progress. And, forcing fumbles is a byproduct of getting close to the quarterback. So for him to have six forced fumbles, that shows his awareness for the football. He and Neil are the ones that have the biggest mindset to knock it off somebody. Different in how they do it.
I'd say.
Both of them will try to force, and really think about the ball. So in their own ways, let's keep encouraging other guys to think about the ball even more to create more turnovers and more ball hawk opportunities.
You know, Coach Quinn's talked about the value of the football. I think anybody that follows football very closely understands turnover ratio is huge. Atlanta Fish is plus 11, which is fourth best in the National Football League. And if you look at the top six teams that are in the playoffs, six of the top seven teams are all in the playoffs that won the playoff battle.
And, Arch, if you want to talk about the thing that turned our year around, last year we were minus 8. And so this year to go to plus 11, that's a huge turnaround.
That's a hell of a turnaround. Yeah.
From where we finished to where we are now. We have a real consciousness to go after it defensively and own it offensively.
Oh, by the way, number one in the league in giveaways. Only 11 turnovers on the year. That's pretty damn good as well. The other team that's tied with them, New England Patriots.
You know when you're going to play.
Yep.
You know where you're going to play.
That's correct.
You don't know who you're going to play.
Correct.
So how does the process work this week? What is the Falcon journey like in this bye week?
For us, the focus stays completely on us. Mm-hmm. And we'll go back and go through our self-scout over the last month and a half of the season. These are the things that we really want to emphasize that we're doing well. These are some things that need some more work. And also in your individual game, what's some technique things that you want to do better and improve upon? So that's where the focus this week, comes right back to us. So we'll leave the opponent of who we'll play into next week. So this week is about us and our improvement.
And, Dan, this is something that this is not your first rodeo for this scenario, to have the bye week and being a coach and having to guide your team or your section of the team, whatever it would have been in that such scenario. So this comes from a lot of arduous thought and trying to put together what you want this process to look like.
We knew we had a plan in place if this opportunity presented itself.
Okay.
And we had an opportunity 2 weeks ago after a win where Seattle had lost. And if we win this game last week against New Orleans, and having a bye would be something we would think about. So we didn't talk to the team about it, and we said if that opportunity comes, I'll fill you in next week. But it was going to be all about New Orleans. So this week, that's when I filled them in on here's what will take place over the next 7 days.
Is it almost kind of tough? Here you are. You've been grinding here since the bye week. You're single-minded every week. We got to fill the bucket up, get ready to defeat this opponent. Now all of a sudden, you got to create your opponent, and it's yourself, as you just talked about.
And but that part is okay, because if you're looking for always to find that little bit in your game better, it's going to help you the following week. So the improvement is going to pay its dividends. Maybe not this week. It's going to pay forward next week. So you got to put the work in now in terms of when we get to next week, you're really sharp and really ready to go.
In your tenure and all the experiences you've had, and even as it relates to NFL and some of the college stuff too, you got to be careful how you handle this, or is this pretty much in line with what you did in the regular season?
I think we talked to the team today to say there's a process that we go through each week. Well, we just happen to have one here during our bye, and here's how we're going to go about it. Trust the process, and we'll take it, you know, as absolute far as we can. But they had a clear understanding of what we were going to get done this week.
I think the people, the laymen that are out there that watch and they hear some of the talking heads that talk about, okay, they got a bye week. Is that a good thing to have a bye week, or would you rather still be playing? Obviously, it's one less game to try to get to the big dance. But your thoughts on that and maybe blocking out that noise, hey, will they be rusty, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure it's an advantage. And it's how the league has designed it to have that advantage. So we'll let next week deal with next week. And we understand the media will be bigger, and it's only a frenzy if you allow it to be. Mm-hmm. So we'll get right into our process next week of how we go, how we attack. The routine will be exactly the same. We love the process we go through to get ready. This week just happens to be a week to sharpen up and get your skills tighter, stronger, faster, so we can throw a great week next week to get ready.
I got to believe from a health perspective it's huge, right?
Yeah, we'll hope to have every player on the roster healthy and playing as we get into our next game.
Yeah, that's got to be the biggest value of it all, right?
Yep, and we've got some guys who, like I said, yesterday was a real physical game.
Sure.
And we'll have some guys that need some extra time to get treatment and get recovered so we can play the style that we love to play.
Dan, how does it work? Maybe let the fan behind the curtain a little bit on the preparation of the potential opponents. How do you handle that this week to kind of get a jump start on, I guess, on all three potential opponents?
Correct. And that none of that process will go through to the players.
Right.
And that'll be behind the scenes with the coaching staff and the personnel department who so closely look at the other teams as well. So that process is already underway. We had what we'd call an advanced scout. They go to some games. They come to ours as well. That's no big secret. And then as you go through that process this week, you start whittling it down. But you won't really know for sure until either Saturday night or Sunday.
Interesting, because at that point, it becomes almost like your regular track then, right?
Yes.
I mean, once you determine the opponent, then it becomes, in your world, normal.
Correct.
Okay.
You just have to do some extra work at the front end of it from the coaching staff to be ready so you can hit the ground running once you know who the opponent is.
You're so single-minded on trying to win a game and make every player the best they can be today. What can you do today? Matt Ryan is in position to be the MVP of the league. I think he is the MVP of the league, and I don't know if you want to comment on that or we'll stay away from that. I know you guys have stayed away from individual awards because it's a team game. But in my estimation, Matt Ryan has had as good a season as any quarterback in the league. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And he has gone for it the entire year. And what's been most impressive is that stick-to-itiveness, that grit has not backed off. It's one thing in way back in January, say, I'm really going to go for it. And then you do that, and you do it in OTAs, and you do it in training camp, and you do it in the regular season, and you do it, and you just don't back off what that standard means. It's clearly a guy who has not backed off, and he's totally worthy of it. And I know his team and his teammates would be really proud to see him achieve that because even though it'll be an individual award, knowing Matt, it would be one that would be shared by everyone.
I think one of the most intriguing aspects about this team, and we've been fortunate, obviously, to see the games and be around you guys as you travel and move through this season, is the connection that everybody in this team has and the building of that connection. Because it started maybe in January when you had those conversations with Matt as it relates maybe to what he wants to accomplish. But all along the way, since you got here in February of 15, this has kind of been the dynamic of which this was going to be approached. I don't want to ask you if it's on schedule, because I think that's, you know, everything matures at its own point. I used that yesterday talking about players. But how important has that evolution been? Because to me, all the things you're doing on the field go back to that core principle.
Yep.
Fair?
Very fair.
Okay.
And for you guys can probably relate, some of the better teams that you've been a part of or been around are really good in the locker room first. And then that carries over into the field. We have a saying around here, trust your teammate, or trust your training, trust your teammate, and trust yourself. So the work that we put in is significant. And then trusting the guy who's right next to you, knowing that he's going to do his job. Mm-hmm. And then the last part is trust yourself. And when you have those three things in order, the hard work it takes, knowing that you're going to battle with the guy who's right next to you and he's going to make sure he takes care of it, it's a powerful feeling. And when you have the power of the group with you, your mindset definitely changes.
Was that influence, is that something you brought to the table and you said, when I become a head coach, this is one of the things I'm going to make a major core value of what I build? Or is it something you picked up along the way and decided, okay, I like this, but I'm going to build on it in a certain way?
I've been on a number of teams in my life, you know, from all the way back. I think I counted it up a couple years ago. It was like 72.
Wow.
And so that was, you know, from Little League and Pop Warner and high school, you know, and track and field.
I don't think I could even do that.
College. It's fun to do, so try it out.
Try that.
And so I've been on a team, you know, forever.
Sure.
And been part of one, whether it was in, you know, participating, and then when I got into coaching, the same program. And all the really good teams that I've been a part of had that connection where it was just so much fun to go compete and battle and do it for the guy next to you. And for the teams that didn't have that connection, I recognize that too, where you put the work in and, okay, see you next year. That is not this group. And they'll hang out this week, and they'll have a couple of days off, and I would imagine they'll go to the movies together. They'll go bowling. They'll do something because it'd probably involve ping pong.
Yeah, no kidding. They're pretty good. And, it's a pretty good group.
You know, they'll do some things together just because that's how close they are.
It's the Coach's Show with head coach Dan Quinn here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Q, whenever you're successful, people are going to kind of try to emulate you or poach you or whatever they're going to do. Obviously, it's being reported some that Kyle will potentially have some opportunities to interview, which is a really cool opportunity for him. You went through the process. How much do you help guide and steer that and make sure it's in the best interest of your team this year?
For sure. And if he has an opportunity, you know, to do that, he would do a terrific job. And then it's up to him, you know, whether the fit is right. And I think that's the biggest thing. I knew right away here it was going to be a good fit for me with Arthur and with Thomas and with this organization. And I didn't know a lot about the players, but I had a sense of what Arthur and Thomas and what they had presented and what I did would mesh. And I think that's the, you know, the value or the lesson that you give to anybody who's has a potential interest or opportunity at a big job like this. You better make sure everyone's aligned correctly. And just because this person's a good coach and they're a good owner, that doesn't mean they're the right fit for one another. And so we'll just take it as it comes. There's nothing, you know, to report at this point. But you know, if it does happen, whether it's now or years from now, we would all be pumped for anybody that that has those opportunities.
How do you balance that, Dan? You went through it. You had a chance. You're going to be a head guy, and you guys went all the way to the Super Bowl. How do you balance
that? It's actually a lot easier than you think.
Okay.
Because any work that you do for that potential job, you do it well before this time ever had come about. And so for us as coaches, our off time is the summer. And so that's when you do some of the planning for that. And then if someone says, hey, I'd like to come visit with you, hey, no problem. I've already have that information out.
Great. Coach, thanks as always for the time. Enjoy this bye week. I know you guys will be as productive as you can be.
That's right. And we look forward to seeing you and the fans rocking here next Saturday afternoon.